Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
Eagles fans here, there, everywhere. Jason Kelce has officially, this time, actually, who was it? Adam Schefter somehow spoiled it, by the way. I'm sure you all tuned into his 1 p.m. you know, conference, media meeting, whatever you want to call it, to announce his decision. Was it Schefter? Pretty much broke the news before Kelce even got up on the podium.
It was a bunch of people. I remember seeing it, and I was like, did I miss, like, the conference? Like, did it start already? And I couldn't find the stream anywhere. So I was like, I don't see where Kelce already announced this. But, you know, reporters get the scoops, and they're gonna do what they do. So I'm glad I didn't miss him saying it. I thought I had missed him saying it
initially. Oh, okay. So. Well, I think you can agree with me when I say this, that for one, when you found out he was hosting a press conference there at that time, and then you start seeing reports that, like, his family's there, obviously his brother's there, you're like, all right, this is it. Like, obviously, like, why would they be there?
They don't hold press conferences to announce returns, I'll tell you that.
Right. Right. And obviously, first of all, I don't think we need to go into, we obviously made a reaction podcast to when the rumors first came out. I guess it was literally just days after the season ended.
Yeah, the day immediately following, because there were people in his camp that were saying, like, Kelce's opting to retire, pretty much. Yeah.
Can't say enough good things about the guy. I feel like that's like the most said thing about Jason Kelce, the person and the player, obviously, as well. But there is a part of me, I will say this. First of all, I'm not going to say I'm surprised, but it's shocking because we're Philadelphia, right? We're Philadelphia fans, and it's a center. At the end of the day, he plays the center position. He really kind of burst onto the scene back when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and he delivered that parade speech that went viral, if that's the right word you want to say. But I can't think of a more legendary like retirement announcement than his. Like I said this to you earlier, if you were to take somebody that's never consumed the NFL or even like the Eagles that doesn't know who Jason Kelce is, I would probably just show them his retirement speech just to give them some context, because he literally ran everything. He ran by everything. He cried for like 3 minutes straight before he even could get a word out, which is insane to think about. I was pretty choked up myself. It takes a lot to make me cry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't cry over a lot of stuff, and I didn't think I would get, like, obviously it's sad, but I didn't think I'd be, like, holding back tears during this. But, man, seeing somebody of his stature and everything he's accomplished, and to see him break down to the point where you can't even talk is it was a rough ride.
And I think we all knew he was going to be very emotional, and I had a feeling he would cry, but I did not expect that. And I'm not, like, holding it against him or anything, but,
you're walking away that doesn't, from a part of your life that you've been invested in over the last 13 years.
If that doesn't sum it all up, I don't know what does. You know, I mean, absolute legend. People want to get into like statue talk. I agree. but I'll
say
this:
they should be building it currently. Hopefully,
I'll go a step further. Yeah, put it at the practice facility or something. I don't know. I'll go a step further. Yeah. Speaking of, they're putting an Iverson statue. Whatever. Let's not talk about that franchise.
You're mad about that? You're mad about that?
It's funny. It's funny to me. It's funny.
Iverson
at the practice facility? Yeah, he does. Absolutely. But at the practice facility?
Oh, I don't care where it is. As long as there's
a statue. I mean, that's kind of legendary. That's pretty dope.
It's probably because he was always talking about practice, so they had to put it over.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you're angry about an Iverson statue?
Well, to add,
years ago.
to add to it, obviously, got ladies and gentlemen, this is the Philly Pod, obviously returning listeners.
Oh, yes, it is.
Familiar.
It is.
New
Thank
people, this is your Eagles podcast for the fans, by the fans. It's the whole deal here. We try to provide you everything. We try to give you everything here, more than, you know, what you can find elsewhere, something different. But my name is Stephen Conrad Jr., obviously joined by the host and creator, Victor Williams. Obviously, we're going to be touching on Jason Kelce, I'd imagine, for a good portion of this podcast, but it is the offseason, and my God, the rumors are really, really
like stuff is breaking
over.
As we're recording this, stuff is coming out and breaking, and it's
getting crazy. Free agency begins March.
Legal tampering begins on the 11th. And then actual free agency starts on the 13th, and all hell's going to break loose. Like Steven mentioned, we'll talk about especially the running backs later on, some safeties. There's some good names out there, especially as
some
of this
new names
minute,
out there as we speak.
Literally new names as of this minute, and we'll talk about all that stuff. But yeah, Steven alluded to Jason Kelce, man. It's almost hard to put into words what he means, like not only to us, but to the city. He put it, you know, everybody knows, you know, how much he means, and he personifies what it means to be a Philadelphia fan. And so on and so forth. And I remember the most interesting part of the speech to me was when he was talking about his struggles in 2016, because that was Carson's rookie year, and we all remember how bad it was. And those rumors about him being cut or traded or whatever, that was real. That was very real. I remember that. I remember that. And we were talking about we got to move on from him. And the resurgence is something you don't see often from offensive linemen. Usually when you're done, you're done. And you just try to stick around. And I give it to Jason Kelce because we're all witnessing it now, and power to him. I'm not knocking this, but we're all witnessing Jason Peters trying to hang on and hang on and hang on. And in some eyes, he's hurting his legacy by doing so. Kelce is leaving, you know, for better or worse, at the peak of his powers. You know, maybe not the peak, but he's leaving as still one of the best safeties in the league. And he doesn't want to taint
centers,
his image.
Centers.
Or I'm sorry, centers, yes. Thank you for that.
Already thinking about free agents, huh?
Yeah, I know. My mind is everywhere. But he leaves as one of the top centers in the game and potentially to ever play as far as athletic centers go, undersized guys go. And he doesn't want to taint his legacy. He's talking about how much effort has gone into rehabilitation as far as his body is concerned over the last year. Like, you can visibly see, like, it's tough for him to walk at times out there on that field. And he still obviously wants to be there for his family. He wants to pursue other endeavors that are lining up for him as we speak. And I just give him a lot of respect for leaving the way he did, leaving on his own terms. And as much as I'm sure he wants to play, he was talking about, you know, freshly cut grass and talking about just how much the game has meant to him over the years. And it takes, I can't imagine how hard it is to walk away from something that's been so important to you for things that have been such an important part of your life. And for you to step away from it, I know is a tough decision. And as much as you want to play, he knows the decision now is to leave. Well, he can still enjoy the rest of his life. And some players don't. Some players, it's tougher than others to make that choice. But for Kelce to walk away at the peak when he knows he could still play, but he just knows his time is up. It takes a strong person to do that, in my opinion. And I applaud him for that.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, there's so many like just amazing takeaways you can take from that speech. Just all the stories. What really got me is when he started describing like how football makes him feel and everything like that. Because everybody, at least you would hope, everybody has that one or two things in life that makes them feel a certain way, right? That you just can't really put into words. But my biggest takeaway really is all the he mentioned everybody that's impacted him through football.
Yeah,
obviously
that stuck with me too.
Yeah, obviously his brother, but he went back as far as like high school trainers, like teachers, obviously people in college, and then at the NFL level, he touched on everybody you could imagine.
Mentioned Chip Kelly.
Yeah, interesting enough. Interestingly enough, how about that, to put a positive spin on that? Yeah. He's one of us though, man. Like, I obviously as a person and his personality, but like at least for me, because I'm 24 years of age. So, like, my prime Eagles watching has been Jason Kelce, and it's just wild to think about all the coaches, all four of the four, correct? It would have been four. Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, Doug Peterson, and now Nick Sirianni. The quarterbacks, like, he didn't get to touch on that. Like, just think of the QBs he's played with. So, it would have been, I don't know if he got Donovan or not, but it would have been Michael Vick, Nick Foles, the Sam Bradford era, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts. Just crazy. Like, he's literally one of us. He's been through it all. Like, some of the moments he mentioned. It was really cool when he mentioned, like, the snowball Mm-hmm. That game will always stick with me too. He said that was the most fun game he's ever played in. And I actually started choking up at that moment because he's a grown ass man. Like, he has a lot of pressure on him. You know, he's a dad now, you know, and all that stuff. But I enjoyed watching that game so much, so I can't imagine playing in it. And like a grown man coming up and admitting that, obviously the Super Bowl would have been a highlight too that he mentioned. Like, to have that much fun, like, when it's just, think about your profession, right? Like, there's, it's so, the NFL, like, obviously we watch it for entertainment and everything, but it's really serious at the end of the day. They're putting their bodies on the line and stuff like that. And for him to like get up here and say like that was the most fun game he's ever played is, you know, it's just crazy. It's crazy to think about. And one more thing really quickly I wanted to say about him. I kind of lost track of where I was. But when I mentioned the whole statue thing, this is what I think. I'm not the first person to bring this up. We're approaching draft season, man. And there are mock drafts everywhere. There are guys who literally get paid to scout these players, and they all do the best that they can possibly do. They got people within the Eagles organization that we hope and pray can do a good enough job to guarantee themselves success this offseason. And moving forward, but I find myself saying it time and time again, and maybe it only applies here to Philadelphia. I'm not saying every player can be like a super big personality type of guy, like fit in and all that stuff. Boy, have we been on both sides of the spectrum with that here with athletes.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, I don't know, man. I just find myself saying you can't put enough stock into that. And the fact that this dude was a sixth round pick. Mm-hmm. And they saw that in him. And what really got me is, I forget who it was. It might have been Jason's agent who told him the second he got drafted, like, you're going to fit in really well there. Just think about the foreshadowing. Like, there's no way his agent ever envisioned all of this. But just think about the foreshadowing there. He told him, you're going to fit in just fine there.
It's funny because I always scoff at sayings like that when people say like, oh, like I always told you like you would fit. Like, I scoff at usually sayings because it's people trying to, you know, just do that I told you so thing. But I genuinely believed his agent told him that this time around. So it's just it's a lot, man. And another thing, when he said that when everybody wanted me gone in this organization, Jeff Stoutland kept me around. And that just goes again to show you the kind of man and coach that Jeff Stoutland is, too. We all know how great he's been, obviously. But man, for Stout to keep him around and shape him into the all-pro center that he turned out to be, that goes a long way. We obviously don't have to list all the accolades and whatever, but 13 seasons as an Eagle for Jason Kelce, Super Bowl champion, obviously, six-time first-team all-pro. That all came after 2016. Seven-time Pro Bowler, most consecutive starts in franchise history at 156, and most regular seasons game played by an offensive lineman in franchise history at 193. This
touches
records
the ball every single play. Everybody thinks about the quarterback. And the crazy thing, I don't mean to cut you off, the crazy thing about this is my day job, I work for a sports betting company, and they touched on Jason Kelce. It's more national media sports, it's not like Philly primarily, and they touched on the Kelce thing. And this guy, who is super smart, people go to him for all of his betting advice and everything, very smart mind, straight up said, like, man, do we have to all of a sudden like put more stock, more importance, more weight into the center position, you know, now? Because it's like, it is a crazy thing to think about, because when you mention the offensive line, everybody goes to the tackle positions. That's always the first thing.
And left tackle is the most important position, protecting the quarterback's blind side.
Yeah, and I'm not here to say
they get paid like it too. They get paid
right
like
I'm not saying center all of a sudden should be viewed as the most important, but man, like, it's kind of wild to think about all these years of all of us watching football, us fans, like, God, such an important position. The guy holds the ball every play. The quarterback does too, but the center, I mean, you know, I'm not sure if like when this sport was first invented, I'm not sure if you could, like, you know, I'm pretty sure this didn't happen. I'm not sure if you could say like, hey, can the tackle snap the ball this play? I don't think that's how the sport works. So it's just like, you know, crazy concept to think about, right?
Yeah, it is wild. And even the story about Jason Kelce allowing the trainer, Joe Opella, to tape him up for his speech because he missed the Tampa game. He missed the last game of Jason Kelce's career because he was getting treated for cancer. He was getting chemotherapy, and Jason Kelce allowed him to tape him up one last time just for the speech.
Oh man!
And it's that kind of thing that just shows you the kind of, like I said, we all love the football player, but the kind of man he is, the kind of person he is. If there was more people in the world like him, it'd be a much better place. And we all are excited to see. I've heard he's going to stick around in the organization in some facet. He'll be in time to time serving some type of role He'll get some type of media job. I'm sure he'll be involved. This won't be the last we see of Jason Kelce, but the last of him as an Eagle, man, I expect the first year he's eligible for Hall of Fame is 2029. I'd be shocked if he's not first ballot to get in there. It's can't say enough good things. And all the players around him, Carson Wentz made a post. Brandon Brooks made a post. Zach Ertz made a post. All these players that have ever played with him. When you have that many people of that high of a status saying nothing but glowing things about you, that's not by accident. It's just a phenomenal person and a phenomenal family too. I mean, the bond that he and his brother share, like, that makes me almost guilty of the way I treat my brothers. I'm like, damn, I need to treat my brothers a lot better. We need to be more vulnerable around each other. That's what everybody's saying anyway. But man, to see how much that they care and love each other, obviously this is going to be tough for Travis. To not have his brother in the league anymore. I give him 2 years before he hangs it up. I give Travis 2 years because he's already talking about wanting a family, and now obviously Taylor's in the mix, and I give him 2 years before he hangs it up.
I can see that. Selfishly, time to get into the selfish side of things here. I thought maybe you can call me a psychopath, but there was a little bit of me that hoped because he was told the whole story from the beginning of time till now. When he touched on the Super Bowl, this past one that we just lost, and he started choking up, I'm like, yo, I need you to just get up. Because it looked like he had a little bit, because he said it's about to go off the rails here.
Yeah.
I was like, dude, get up and say you're coming back.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Just do it. Yeah. I was like, does he have a WWE promo in him? No. But I will say this, though, selfishly yet again, although he deserves it. I mean, he's been weighing retirement now for a few years, it seems.
For like the last 4 years after every season, he's like, I'm thinking about it, and then he just keeps coming back.
Yeah. Selfishly, though, a part of me feels, this is a crazy statement I'm about to make, a sense of... relief a little bit, because it felt like he was just I was scared. It just felt like he was really dragging himself through. You know, I'm just glad
this year especially
nothing bad happened to him, you know, and he's never gonna say anything about it, him being the man that he is. And if he did come back, I think we'd all agree it would be like a Ray Lewis situation where it's like, this is it, the last dance, Jason Kelce's last dance.
You announced
last
before
year.
The year, like, this is my tour, like Kobe did, like, this is my tour.
And, you know, the Eagles being where they're at, I almost feel like that puts pressure then on them.
I was about to say,
he didn't want any
more unwanted pressure on the team by sticking around and thinking, oh, we got to get Kelce one more ring, and Fletch is leaning towards retirement. Brandon Graham will likely be back, so there's still going to be, you know, pressure on them to get to get that last ring. I'm just glad he got one. I'm glad Jason Kelce got one. To have his career
it.
I'm glad he got a ring. It would have been nice for him to obviously win that Chiefs one. But he seems like he has a sense of peace that at least if he had to lose to anybody, he's glad it was to Travis. It seems like
barely
anyway,
lost.
I don't have that peace at all. But it's good to see Jason having peace with it all. I got a ring. I have all the success I did, and I wish it could have ended on a higher note. But alas, the world doesn't always have happy endings, and we're gonna walk while I can still walk and put a bow.
Yeah,
on
but
this,
doesn't
on this
feel? And I, you know, it's helped that the Eagles have had the coordinator moves that they made, and we're pretty optimistic about some of the other things that they can do this offseason. But again, as far as like turning the page, it just feels like that. It feels like that speech was just like officially a page turning moment too, where it's like just flush last season down the toilet. Like just remember the guys that are in that building, and you know the ones that are. Yeah, like moving forward or in that building, like at
Stoutland,
the end of the day.
Especially. As long as you got Stoutland around, you'll have a top 5-10 offensive line.
And we all get caught up in the moment. We're all pissed off, got a bad taste in our mouth about things on a weekly basis, it seems, right? And obviously the last season as a whole has a bad taste in our mouths, but like when he was just running through everything, it's like, damn, like I trust the guys in that organization, you know, I trust Howie. Trust, obviously, Stoutland, trust Hurts, the players.
Kelce said Howie especially, always dedicating time, working tirelessly to make the team better. And obviously, it sounds good, but I believe it. I believe Howie's always,
Jeff Lurie. Oh, you know what got me,
dedicated
too.
To winning. What's that?
He brought up the flower analogy again. He said, I can't wait to see
the roots
flower,
are still there.
The roots blossom again. And you know what? You're right. I'm optimistic about it. My last thing on this is this. There's got to be some sort of video screen package that you see every single day when you walk in that damn training facility at the NovaCare complex, because that's like, I know guys coming out of college are trying to get paid and fulfill their dreams, and they have some personal goals, you know, that they want to achieve at the next level and do things for their family, the whole deal, right? But it's different, man. When you walk in that building, you're representing this city, these fans, the colors, you know, everything. And he was right about all of it. And yeah. I see some of you, to bring this back, if you listen to last pod, you're goddamn right he was sending a message to Darius Slay.
Oh, man. Yeah, when he was, I didn't take I know you were thinking shots, of it. But when he was saying, like, as long as you...
Come on.
As long as you know, play hard and do all this, you know, the fans will love you, and the media will only... What was the saying? The media will only, like... The media will use what you give them or something like that.
Something like that,
and
yeah.
And my first thought was AJ, and I'm like, oh, my God, AJ.
No, I wasn't thinking that.
I was thinking he was saying stuff about, like, the media will only write what you give them in most cases, and he wasn't taking shots at people, obviously. This was a retirement speech. But I was thinking AJ, like, I hope AJ's listening, man. Like, I hope. But that's the state of Philly for you. And Kelsey handled Philadelphia well. You know, some people are built for the city. We spoke about this on the last episode, to Steven's point. Some people are made for the city and some aren't. And Jason Kelsey understood through and through what it meant to be a Philadelphia Eagle and play for the city and what he meant for the fans. And Iverson, to come back to Iverson, that's a good example of that. He never won a ring here. Didn't see a whole lot of, like, you know, success as far as championships. But, man, he's beloved in the city because he left it all out there. And the fans knew each and every night he played his game, every game, like it was his last. And fans, they have a really, really good BS detector. Like, they know when you're faking it. That's why I didn't work with Dorial Green-Beckham. That's why they soured on Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons and all this stuff. They can tell when you're not putting in effort. And the minute, as long as you show effort, regardless of the results, the fans will always enshrine you. And that's what Kelsey was trying to make.
The Ben Simmons thing is such a touchy one because, like, the guy literally couldn't – well, I don't want to say couldn't. I guess he couldn't shoot. Wouldn't shoot a jump shot. And yet,
wouldn't.
A large majority, and I was one of them, still backed the guy and, like, cheered
him on. He was my favorite
on.
Player. Throughout the whole duration, he was my favorite. Even at the end of it, and I got a lot of grief for this. Even at the end of the – and the same thing with Wentz. At the end of it all, I was willing to give him a chance. I was willing to say if he dedicates himself to the team and says, I need to be better, and comes back willing – I will give him a chance. But I am really big on, like, second chances, probably third chances, and I'm a lot more forgiving than you know, Philadelphia fans, I think. So I understand why a lot of people are like, I'm done with him, get him out of here. If he doesn't want to play here, forget it. I'm willing to see a lot of things through, even in life in general. Like, if somebody makes a mistake or what have you, like, I'm willing to give you a second chance, and that's kind of the way I view athletes. A lot of people don't agree with that. But it is what it is. But we never had to question it with Jason Kelsey. We never had to question if his heart was in it and all this. He was, like I said, an Eagle through and through. And we're going to miss him. And it certainly won't be the last of him. And Steven, I think we'll all agree, like, nobody's ever wearing 62 again. I doubt that jersey's getting hung. I would assume they're hanging that jersey. If I see a 62 out there on a practice squad or in training camp, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I can't imagine.
How about we don't do that?
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains, now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
So speaking of turning the page, Steven, you mentioned now it's time to look towards the future. Cam Jurgens, seemingly the heir, you know, Jason Kelsey's handpicked heir at center, but now he's playing right guard, and Landon Dickerson is now a Pro Bowl left guard. So
Big shoes to fill, man.
Do you shift over Cam Jurgens now that, you know, it's time to play center? You have NFL experience. It's time to do what you were drafted for. Or do you play it safe, keep him at right guard, draft a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson that everybody wants? For a good reason. He's the top center in the draft.
Yeah, man.
So do you keep everybody in place, draft another center, and say, hey, we're doing this thing? Which kind of way would you lean as far as taking care of the center position, filling those gargantuan shoes moving forward?
Well, I'm leaning towards the guy that was handpicked to be his replacement.
I know, right? It's hard to bet against that.
you know, in the organization. But hey, if they feel they need to draft so-and-so, then, I mean, I'm on board with it. But let's just hope whoever it is, maybe, just maybe, because, like, we always have this conversation with everybody. I mean, you see it with the Patriots ever since Tom Brady left the team. Like, who's the next guy? Oh, my God. It's not fair. You can never fill his shoes. Here's the thing, man. We're not asking you to come in here and be like the underdog guy and you know, we're not asking you to be Jason, like, nobody's going to be Jason Kelce. But you know what comparison I just thought of?
What's that?
It doesn't get talked about. I mean, now it is. You want to know who does it so freaking well? Probably, actually, I think they do it the best in sports, maybe. The Green Bay Packers. When do they ever have bad quarterbacks? They go from Brett Favre. Yeah. Slide in Aaron Rodgers. Two different people.
You know what it is, though? They I don't want to say groom, but they develop them the right way. You know, they don't just throw them into the fire.
Well, what
like,
are they doing with Cam Jurgens?
He sat his rookie year, right?
Yeah, but you're still...
He sat his rookie year and then started at right guard. Yeah, so...
Just like,
so,
and then Jordan Love now.
Exactly.
Like, just look.
I see your point.
So... You know, I'm optimistic and confident about that for that reason. I'm not saying the guy's going to be a 13-time, you know, he's going to be our center for 13, whatever it is. I'm not saying that, but yeah. I'm confident. And they got Jeff Stoutland, too.
Exactly.
So I feel like, yeah, Cam Jurgens could be the guy. I just hope he can stay healthy. He has all the resources he needs, like coaching-wise. I mean, he's been in the building now. You mentioned he's played
Surely has the athleticism. If you haven't seen his film, he certainly possesses the athleticism. So I would.
I mean,
anticipate.
He lit it up. It was it this preseason or last preseason?
Yeah, preseason. Yep. He was throwing people out the club, man. He was manhandling people, and so he proved his worth at right guard already. So you would like to think he's going to be even better at his natural position. So I think the Eagles are at the very least going to get a look at that and see what they have, and then make their decisions from there. I don't think they're going to use at least first round resources on another center when they have one. I think they'll go in another direction. So interested to see Cam Jurgens likely try his hand at center just like he did in college and see what he can do from there. Like I said, nobody's expecting you to fill Jason Kelce's shoes, but we do have high expectations for him. And I tell you what, he better be practicing the hell out of that tush push, because Kelce was getting annihilated at the bottom of those piles. And they got to spend – I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to have any interest. Are they going to scrap the tush push entirely? I doubt it. Some people were telling me, oh, Kellen Moore is going to QB sneak. We graduated from the tush push. It's time to be a real NFL offense now. I think they still use it, but man, Cam Jurgens and Jalen Hurts are going to have a lot of practice, because he and Kelce perfected it. And now if Jurgens is going to be the one to have to execute it now, it's going to take a lot of reps and practice.
I say you get one of those hybrid players in here, because it seems like the fullback position or whatever the hell you want to call it is being revived somewhat in the NFL. Hey, I wouldn't be opposed to them trying to fill that. You know what I'm saying? Kellen Moore is innovative. You know what I'm saying? It'd be cool if they get a player like that, I guess. Sort of, what do you consider a fullback? I mean, a fullback is like a tight end running back hybrid. You know, I don't know if there's any out there, but hey, the Eagles do this. These are the things that they do. Don't forget, Jordan Mailata literally played a different sport, and they turned him into one of the best tackles in the NFL.
Turned him into a prime left tackle. Yeah, it's great. I have no doubt Stoutland could take what, and Kelce's been in his ear for the last 2 years. He's definitely going to take a lot of what he's learned and implement that as well. Cam Jurgens had a lot of access to information in his first couple of years here, and that is you can't put a price on the stuff that Stoutland and Kelce put together has been able to teach him. So that'll be good to watch. Speaking of layers to Kellen Moore's offense, is it time to add another playmaker? Will the Eagles add another playmaker to this offense that already features Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Dallas Goedert? And with that, we take a look at the running back position now, because they are Rashad Penny, Boston Scott, and obviously DeAndre Swift. They're all free agents. Kenneth Gainwell is the only back under contract. I'm like 40. I'm not confident. I'll say I'm like 40%. I'll give it a 40% chance the Eagles bring back DeAndre Swift.
We all know,
you know, how it goes with running backs. You know, Howie Roseman and the Eagles historically don't pay them. The last big contract they handed one was to LeSean McCoy all those years ago. And they just don't invest in that position because they feel like, again, with our offensive line, we don't need to invest and spend substantial dollars at that position. We can get production regardless. As long as we put an above average player back there, we will be able to find a way. But now a name has arisen.
Yeah.
That the Eagles are rumored to be, reported to be, whatever, interested in. And that is one former Giants running back, Saquon Barkley, who for the first time in 6 years since he's been in the league, he will now test the open market. The Giants did not use the franchise tag on Saquon by yesterday's 4 p.m. deadline, which now sends him to free agency to see what teams will be paying him. But this is a stacked class, Steven, perhaps the most stacked free agent running back class in league history that I can remember. You have Josh Jacobs, you have Derrick Henry, you have Austin Eckler, you have Tony Pollard, you have DeAndre Swift, you have Devin Singletary, you have A.J. Dillon, you have J.K. Dobbins, and now, as of about 15 minutes ago, Joe Mixon is going to be released by the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of running backs, and Saquon picked. He might have wished he tested free agency last year when the pool wasn't as rich, but he's going to give it a shot. His projected net worth right now is hovering around $9.9 to $10 million annually. Certainly don't anticipate the Eagles spending that, but Saquon is Saquon, still a dynamic player in this league. He still has prime years in front of him, only 27 years old. And Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News yesterday, he says, this is a transcript from the New York Daily News. He says, sources view the Baltimore Ravens, Las Vegas Raiders, Chicago Bears, New England Patriots, Houston Texans, and the Philadelphia Eagles as some primary potential suitors who have the resources, need, and interest to possibly sign Saquon Barkley. So, Steven, you think you hear Saquon Barkley's name, you think about the potential fit on offense, you think about the likelihood of the Eagles bringing him in. What are your initial thoughts on these reports and rumors and the potential interest in the star running back?
Yeah, I mean, just bring Swift back. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? If you like, I thought if you're not going to bring Swift back, it's because you don't want to pay him. So, like, I guess Saquon is obviously a better player, but that means it comes at a bigger price tag. I mean, wouldn't hate it. I mean, obviously, if I get the notification on my phone that the Eagles, you know, sign, Saquon Barkley, I'm going to be hype. But, like, I don't know. DeAndre Swift, more than we touched on it, like, he more than proved his worth. I'd imagine, I'd have to imagine, regardless of where either of these two go, I'd imagine Swift is going to come at a cheaper pay.
Oh, of course. Right? Yeah, I would assume so. Saquon's a top three back in the league.
Are DeAndre, they that much different?
I mean, Saquon is in a separate tier, but Swift is impressive in his own right. They're not in the same tier of as far as like playmaker is concerned.
There is something to be said though about Saquon, right?
The difference in price does not warrant the increase in skill level, if that makes sense. Like, it's going to be like, I see Swift getting $5 million a year, Saquon gets 10. Is the extra $5 million worth it? For the disparity, I don't think it is.
You have that many holes on defense.
I don't think Saquon Barkley is $5 million better per year than DeAndre Swift, if that makes sense. I don't think, like, just bring back Swift, 25 years old. I said it all on the last pod. Like, there's a million reasons why Swift should come back and be on this team. But I just keep coming back to J.K. Dobbins, man. I know that Achilles injury. I know how he's salivating. He's probably on the phone with him right now, like, hey, man, is that Achilles, right? Come on in for $2.1 million per year. We'll come on in. We'll recoup your stock, and you can go and get your big payday next year. And that's the way they're going to do it.
They're going to pay like a lot. I'm not saying pay a linebacker like the top dollars or whatever. I'm just hoping they invest more than like $2.5 million.
I think they are. I've actually heard that they are.
They're going to pay a linebacker decent?
They're going to invest at the position like more than recent years, whether it's the draft or free agency.
I seeing reports that the Eagles are interested in this Patriots guy? Like, let's be honest, he kind of sucks.
Yeah, and he's an edge rusher, but they're preparing for Hassan Reddick to maybe leave. That's what they're trying to get their ducks in the row.
We got another issue here, guys, for
Reddick, but that is neither here nor there. I've not heard anything on that front since I've
mentioned
heard about
edge rusher. I find myself scouting edge rushers now. Chop Robinson, holy shit!
Yeah, man, it's gonna be time.
There's the other one too. I forget his name. He won an award. I think he plays. Is it Iowa? He plays for. I believe he's Hawaiian.
Damn. What is your stance on AJ Dillon potentially coming here? I wanted him out of the draft. You can find clips of me on Twitter back when he was draft about the power. If they bring in AJ Dillon and they're like, you know what, we're going to use AJ and Kenneth Gainwell as our backs next season. Like, how would you feel about that? can say with a straight face.
I mean,
he's a good RB2, a very good RB2. I would love like a Swift and AJ Dillon like combo. I would be in love with that. That'd be amazing if they go that route.
But, and Swift is the hometown guy, man. He's like beloved. Like he's so kind of an underlooked player. You know,
Swift is more local than Saquon, though.
Yeah, and don't even get me started on the whole. Here I am mentioning Chop Robinson. I'm not a big Penn State guy. I've made that known for quite some time, but I don't see it. There's no way. There's no way. There's just no way the Eagles. The last time they did something like this,
we're paying Saquads.
And I still can't forgive them for the LeSean McCoy thing and then going and handing DeMarco Murray all that money, dude.
Some fans are like, Tony Pollard, like, let's leave the, I'll say it right now, before illegal tampering and all this stuff, former Dallas running backs, former Dallas players in general, don't work out. I don't have to tell you that. You can look historically where it hasn't worked out, from Miles Austin to DeMarco Murray to Orlando Scandrick. And list
maybe
goes
we should
on.
Just stay away from NFC East rival players, man.
Yeah, I would advise that unless you're Washington and DeShaun Jackson. It hasn't worked out that often.
I do think there's something to be aside from that one year the Giants. I guess they went on a run, not this last year, but the year prior they made the playoffs and Dable's offense was good. I mean, Daniel Jones is playing solid football that year. There is something to be said about Saquon not getting to be one in a good organization. Let's just call it how it is. And an offense that is. Got talent on it, good scheme, offensive line.
Saquon's last two seasons, like he's played 30 games in the last two seasons while hobbled by injuries and all this stuff. 30 games played, over 2,200 rushing yards, 98 receptions, over 600 receiving yards, and 20 total touchdowns. And this is while being behind like an offensive line that's ranked at the bottom of the league. Like he's fighting behind that offensive line every time he touches the ball. Imagine him coming here and the things he would be able to generate. And I'm going to say not only as a ball carrier, but as a pass catcher as well. But you said that about Swift, and they hardly used him in that regard last year. I just feel like Swift fits more of the mold of what Kellen wants to do on offense with this kind of aerial thing. Like, I don't know if Kellen Moore is going to be enamored with handing the ball off to Saquon Barkley 22 times a game. So that's I just don't think it's a fit financially or schematically for Philadelphia. But, I mean, obviously, if you can get him, then buy. And if you can have him at a good price, $7-8 million a year, I think you at least make the offer and see what happens. But the biggest threat in all this, I think, is Houston. Houston's going to get whatever star player they want.
Yeah,
they
makes have a lot bunch, of sense.
A bunch of players on rookie contracts. CJ Stroud, Stingley, they're all on rookie contracts. Tank Dell, Nico Collins, all barely getting paid anything. You have $70 million in cap space. Houston can literally go out and sign whoever they want. I don't know not one player, unless you just don't like Houston as a city, that isn't going to be excited to go there. Number one, get paid, and number two, play with one of the top teams in that conference. They are going to be with all that cap space before they have to pay any of their key players. They're going to be a fun team to watch for a while. And then they got good use out of Devin Singletary last year. And if you can get a guy like Saquon in there, oh my God, that's going to be they're going to be something. It's going to be interesting to see as far as that is concerned. Some other safeties, Steven, have become available. Xavier McKinney has become available. The Bills are releasing Jordan Poyer, 32 years old. So, you know, wrong side of 30 there. Wrong side of 30. A lot more names. Quandre Diggs.
I look
Diggs.
At age so much now, man, when we do this stuff. Quandre Diggs, how old is he?
I don't know, but I know Bradbury has us all scarred now with that 30-year-old defensive back. Like, nobody wants 30-year-old defensive backs.
Well, just look, they're hesitant to pay one of the best edge rushers in the game.
Yeah, that has it. Even though Hassan, like, you don't need to be.
Quandre Diggs is 31.
Yeah, see all these names. Jamal Adams is out there now, but he's been cooked since pretty much the Jets. Seattle didn't.
I mean, we say this, but I don't know if they're going. I don't mean to cut you off, but like if they do sign one of these guys that are in their 30s, whatever the position may be, if it's a safety, corner, whatever it is, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be like a long term contract. It could literally be a 1 year prove it deal, 2 year type of thing, and they still have the draft, which isn't a terrible idea. Honestly, the more dark
they're going to need
the
experience
board.
One way or another on at safety. You're going to need experience. You got Sidney Brown, who's coming off an ACL tear. You have Reed Blankenship, who didn't look particularly great down the stretch. Again, nobody in the defense did. But now you got where are we at with the Justin Simmons trade from the Broncos? Where are we at there? Because Justin Simmons is coming off his third consecutive All-Pro season. He carries a base salary of $14.5 million, non-guaranteed. In 2024, if they could convince Denver to like eat some of that salary, maybe he could come here because he has obviously experience with Fangio. Christian Parker, obviously, who just came over from the Broncos and is now the DB's coach here. So there's definitely a lot of safety names out there. Xavier McKinney went to Alabama, right? So there's the Bama connection.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's there. That's there as well. Quandre Diggs played with Darius Slay. They're gonna get a tenured safety one way or another. Eddie Jackson.
I was just gonna say. I agree with that. I'll tell you this: why I like that. If it is a trade or a free agent signing, at the safety position, I like it because they have Reed Blankenship, and then obviously, mm-hmm. I mean, Sidney Brown's out, but you have youth there. Mm-hmm. I feel like the safety fix, like you said, you do want somebody with more experience, you know, can come in and contribute right away and is a veteran.
Was ideally familiar with Fangio would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let me tell you, yeah, you definitely want that. You want to finally see, right? If this is the system, you got the guy to run it now. You want to finally see if this damn thing works.
All
right?
These disciples are out the door. Does the creator of it all? Does he still have?
But
it?
It's a little bit different with corner, actually, in my opinion, just because Slay's still here. You still believe in him. The Bradbury salary's still there. I'm not gonna say anything more there.
You can squeeze another year out of Slay, and then. You know, bank
they
on
do have they do have some young guys who you hope can develop, and there's a belief that some of the guys can
develop. Isaiah Rogers off suspension, we assume when he.
So I could see them addressing that position more in the draft, but safety is definitely one I'd hope, and linebacker.
Yeah,
that's the thing. Linebacker, I feel like at both positions, you want to throw as many darts as you can at the board. You know what I'm saying? Like, draft one higher, sign one, trade for both positions. I feel like you should try and either sign or trade for one, like a noteworthy player, a difference maker.
It's funny you mentioned corner, because on the on Twitter the other day, I put out a tweet just to gauge where kind of the fans are. I said, what is your ideal first round pick for the Eagles, you know, as it stands currently? And I got majority of the answers were Kool-Aid and Cooper DeJean. So corner is definitely getting the corner.
Is it Quinyon Mitchell? He's picking up some steam. There's some people rating him like a top 13 player in the draft.
Yes, people are hoping for a Kool-Aid McKinstry.
He's
Cooper
older
DeJean
though, right? I think he played at the Senior Bowl.
He played the Senior Bowl, so he's already got four years under his belt. But that's where the fans are at. They're saying cornerback we need to invest in. And I agree with that. Like you said, Bradbury salary, we have to figure out if they're going to trade, cut, whatever the situation is going to be.
I'm so open-minded about it this year, though. I feel like in years past, and I'm sure you can agree, like you kind of narrowed it down to like one or two positions. But I'm so open-minded. Like just because I trust the Eagles, too. That's the other thing. Like. Mm-hmm. I would be okay with, you mentioned Jason Kelce center replacement, although very unlikely that they go that direction.
I doubt
they
invest the first round resource into that. I doubt it.
But then I look at the tackle position. Maybe they want to do that. I'm looking at edge rusher now.
Edge.
The one I would be pissed about is interior, like defensive tackle. I would be pissed about that. You can't do that 3 years in a row. Yeah. How do you sell me on that? How do you sell me?
I wouldn't like that. We're almost in BPA territory, but I think it's right. We're almost in BPA territory.
And then there are some sickos out there that are mocking receivers. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Xavier Worthy. It's funny because right before he set the record at the 40 time, I wrote that the Eagles had a visit with him right at the combine, and I had wrote about it, and I said, hey, he might be available in the second round. You know, he looked up to DeSean Jackson, blah blah blah. If he's there in the second, Eagles should take a look. And then that 40 time, he undoubtedly ran his way into the first round. So that's
what
on
if?
The board. I will say though, man, you put him in there with AJ and Devontae, it's gonna be scary. Also, fans are telling me that they are getting Quez and Rager vibes off of Xavier Worthy. I don't think that's fair. He played at Texas for God's sake. But I get it. We're all scarred. I understand. We're all traumatized and from that whole thing. So I get it. I understand. You had a point.
I don't know if you need to use a first round pick, man.
I wouldn't. Hell no, I wouldn't. At a receiver? At a position?
I think
you already
I just saw he
ones?
Was mocked to go pick 32 to the Chiefs. I just saw somewhere.
Oh, that's a lot.
So hey, if he dropped, that's the other thing. Like none of this stuff gets accounted for, and you can only do so much with your mock.
Nobody
drafts.
Knows
like,
where anybody's going in the draft. Like, yeah, the last year proved that. I mean,
well, I see
Will
people.
Levis was, we all thought Will Levis was going like top 10, and he went.
Well,
in the second round.
The Malik Nabers hype is picking up. Like, dude, from like September on till like most recently, like Marvin Harrison Jr. was like the consensus, like obviously best wide receiver in the class.
He still is.
Some were saying he was the most talented player in the draft, and now there's people. Yeah. Like talking about Malik Nabers now, and I'm not denying the talent that he is, but holy shit!
If teams didn't need quarterbacks, Marvin Harrison Jr. could probably go first. If the Bears If the Bears stayed put and, like, you know, believe in Justin Fields, they could certainly take Marvin Harrison if they wanted to. But they're obviously going to trade that pick to a team that wants Caleb and do that. Who is the top pick in the draft currently? My mind is...
Oh, Caleb Williams, man.
No,
that's the
team.
Other one.
No, the top team.
Oh, the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears, right? Yeah, so they're gonna
they've
trade
been
that
the
pick
story
to a
of this.
Caleb.
They have full control here. I actually have a theory on them.
Oh, I'll go for it.
It's me overthinking because we have time to do this. The draft, we still got a little bit to go till the draft really picks up. I mean, Caleb Williams seems to be the obvious choice here. And I guess Justin Fields removing the Bears from his social media is not a good look. But, like, if there is at all, everybody talks about if they were to stick with Justin Fields, you know, the obvious decision is to trade back, which I agree with. What if they just traded back a spot or two with, like, the Commanders or who's pick number three? The Patriots.
New England.
What if they, like, because that's a big difference. And don't listen to what people say about fucking Drake May and all these other guys. Like, it's Caleb Williams. I don't care what you say.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it. I'm scared. I think if I was the Commanders, I would take Jaden Daniels actually over Drake
J.J.
May.
McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy.
And rewrite the wrongs of RG3.
Oh, yeah. Jesus,
you know?
Yeah. A guy that
but anyway, my point is, if I was the Bears, if you're going to stick with Fields, I would trade back a spot or two and get a King's ransom, and then you still have pick two or three to take. I mean, if you want to get Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, you could get anybody and get more assets. Like, I would be so hyped if I was a Bears fan. You have pick one and pick nine, and I just opened up a mock draft. I'm on PFF.com. Whose is this? Couldn't tell you who some guy named Gordon. This mock draft has Caleb Williams going to the Bears at one. And guess who the Bears get at number nine?
Who's that?
Brock Bowers. Are you kidding me, dude?
That'd be disgusting. Oh, and they obviously get a haul for Justin Fields and keep it moving. That's gonna be they're in a really good spot.
They're like the Oklahoma City Thunder of the NFL.
Yeah.
You see that?
Oh, man, they get a better result into something because if you have all this and you're still mediocre in 3 years, this is
Bo Nix to the Rams. That's interesting. Have them develop behind Stafford, huh?
Yeah, that'd be.
Hey, Eagles, are you ready? Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yep, there it is. Told you, Kool-Aid Cooper DeJean. They're one of those guys is belonging to the Eagles. It sounds like if we get a white corner in Philly and he excels, boy, that's we'll talk about culture up in here. Oh man, that's gonna be hilarious.
Wait,
somebody
white corner. What do you mean, white corner?
Cooper isn't Cooper DeJean.
Oh,
white
you
corner?
Said my bad. I missed when you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Cooper. Somebody DM'd me on Twitter yesterday, and they're like, "Yo, if Cooper DeJean comes to Philadelphia and Britton Covey has snaps on offense next year, Steven's gonna be in heaven." I forgot to
Wait,
send that.
Wait, somebody
to
said that?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Oh, here we go, man. Here we go.
Oh man, see, you said it. You set the expectation. Now everybody's gonna be watching Britton
Covey.
Wait,
this isn't
your
a
ass.
Color thing. This isn't a color thing.
Oh, it's getting there. It's getting there. Like History Month is
I want
over.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, I think.
Like History Month is over. It's your time now. I had my month. I had my month. It's funny.
It would be. I don't want them to trade Reddick. They gotta try and resolve
this.
Yeah,
I don't.
You know what though? I'll go as far as to say this.
Howie's asking for a second for Reddick, by the way.
I'd go as far as to say this. Even if Reddick comes back, I'd still consider heavily drafting one of these edge rushers if they're there at 22.
Yeah.
You're
going to see what happens
with
Nolan.
Howie's going to fall in love with a player and move up like three spots and get his guy again. That's you know it's going to happen. That's what always happens.
They have to be careful with edge because it depends. Like if you pay Reddick, are you paying Sweat as well, Josh Sweat as well? And then you still have Nolan Smith. You got it's a lot of moving parts as far as money is concerned. I don't think they're going to pay both.
I mentioned earlier, his name is, I am going to butcher this. He plays for UCLA. You had to have seen him. It's Laitu Latu or whatever.
Hawaiian dude. Yeah, he'll be all right. I've seen a lot of Josh Sweat for L'Jarius Sneed trades, which will kind of work out for both sides. So a lot of fun stuff coming up in the offseason for the Philadelphia Eagles, and we are going to be here to cover it all. Fun stuff with Jason Kelce, happy retirement, maybe Saquon to Philadelphia, and a lot of fun draft stuff. We said we were going to do Starego, but I think that ship has sailed because legal tampering is about to be here. We have a pretty good idea of who's not sticking around, so we missed the boat on that one. But we'll definitely be back to talk about more things all offseason. Legal tampering begins on March 11th, and that's when the fun starts. So can't wait to talk to you guys all throughout that process. If you're new to the show, thanks a lot for checking it out. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate 5 stars, leave those reviews. All of them do help with the show. Follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod, as well as Instagram, anywhere else. Follow Steven at Real Steven Conrad Jr., as well as all of his other content at The Daily Drip Show. Find national content that he's doing over there as well. We will catch you guys on the next episode. Until then, peace out from the Philly Pod.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.